Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
How are you guys doing this morning? Good. Good to see you. So many faces here this morning. It's good to see you. I'm excited about next week. Well, for this year, it was the first summer that we tried to have two Sundays online with the purpose, to strengthen their team, to give the team a little bit of a break throughout the summer, but also to give us an opportunity to have, I know Todd White is a very busy man. It's hard to have him in person here. One day we will. He's a very good friend of the house, but it's also an opportunity to receive from powerful guests. So again, next week we will be online only, but for the remainder of the year, from August 11 all the way into December 22nd, which I believe is the last Sunday of the year, we will be here in person. Not, I don't want to say we will be here, because maybe we'll have a new building by the end of the year. So I want to have faith, but we'll be meeting together. That's something I'm sure of, and I'm excited. I'm excited too, because right after the long weekend, I'll head down to Brazil with my family for 3 weeks. So it'll be good to have a break from you guys. No, just kidding. I love you. But it will be good refreshments time in Brazil for us to enjoy a little bit of our fake winter over there. But anyways, we'll be cool. And I've been talking to Pastor Sean. He's excited to be back in person. He'll be part of our online experience next week, but also back in person on August 11. How many of you were here last week? Okay, good voicing. We had about like 60%. Harley brought an incredible and encouraging message, tear off the roof, removing limitations, and it was such a powerful word. How many were encouraged that you were here and encouraged by that word? It was a very practical word, and I've been thinking about that word, and it's probably good that you take notes throughout a Sunday and meditate in what the speaker, because I know I can guarantee you, you'll forget many messages, but you won't forget an experience with God. So take notes, you know, just don't use your phones for social media or any other things throughout this experience. Take notes, because I believe that you will be encouraged, and there will be something that you can pray on throughout this week, and God and Holy Spirit will speak to you. I was thinking about one of the last verses that Harley read on that story of the men, the paraplegic guy, in Luke chapter 5:25. I was thinking about the healing part of the story. And of course, I won't repeat her message, but this verse really spoke to me this week. It says, in an instant, the man rose right before their eyes. He stood up, picked up his stretcher, and went home. And this is what God really spoke to me this week. Giving God the glory with every step he took. And I was thinking about that statement, such a powerful statement. He gave glory to God every step that you take. And sometimes we come off moments of high. You just experience an amazing worship by our worship team. And you come off this experience and you'll be challenged with your faith the very next day, the very next moments. And I love that what God did on this man's life went deeper than just a natural healing. It was a heart healing. His heart was changed. His life was forever changed. And now every step that he takes, he's giving glory to God. And I just love that. I love that. And it reminds me of a psalm that most of us in this room know, Psalms 27:4. King David expressed that same heart to God. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. This was his desire every day. Give glory every day to God. Spend time with God every day. Give his hearts. So what these men did, giving glory every step of the way, this has been on my hearts. And I just want to side note here, this semester we have our connect groups in their house, but I had the privilege and our lead pastors entrusted me with a new course that is called Strong Foundations. And we have been diving deep into the very beginning of the Bible. And this is, again, I want to tell you, it's just not for new believers. It's for people that want to go deeper in their faith. We're halfway through the semester with that group a little bit late because we realize there's so much to dive in into foundations of the Bible. And I was thinking about something that we see here in this man's hearts and also David's hearts. And I want to give, because we have been studying the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and I want to give you guys a revelation of what really takes place in each of these five books. In Genesis, God creates. So it's the story of creation. You're going to find God is creating things. He's setting up new standards. In Exodus, we will see a book. If you want to summarize these books, I'm summarizing all of them, five, and probably in a statement. In Exodus, God manifests his glory. God manifests his glory to Moses. God manifests his glory to people. You will see encounters that Moses will have on Mount Sinai. And it's a book that speaks about the manifestation of his glory. In Leviticus, you're going to see God instructing. It's instructions that God is bringing to the people. In Numbers, you're going to see God moving. He's going to say, this people goes to this side, this people go to that side. And in Deuteronomy, it's like a song where we say, and again and again and again, he's going to repeat the whole process and again and again and again. He's going to create stuff, manifest his glory, give instructions, and get people to move in his glory. And I feel like in many moments, this is a structure that this is something that God wants to establish in our walk with him. God wants to create a structure. He wants to give you a word that will create a structure in you. And then he wants, based on that word, for you to what? Experience his glory. And after experiencing his glory, then will come instructions that you shall follow, that you will be blessed if you meditate on it day and night. And then you can let him instruct your life. And then what happened is you're going to be able to move into the place that he's creating you. And I find that in our Christian lives, this is the path, because we're called from the top of the mountain to the valley. And I think this is moments. God's going to give us a word in the mountains. We're going to go through the valley and we're going to remember his glory. He want to have encounters with his glory throughout that process. We're going to follow the instructions so we can go back into the new place and move into the new place that God has for our lives. And this is this is what the story that Harley said happened last week. Because if you say, Jesus said to the paraplegic man, he said, I say to you now, stand up, carry your stretcher, and go on home, for you are healed. So he gave him, he created something. He created an opportunity for a miracle. Then he said, if you obey, if you experience that, then the guy experiences the miracles. And then he follows the instructions, doing what? That says in verse 25, giving God glory every single day. So he was moving into that reality. And I really believe that this is a word for us because, and we got to remember, I want you guys to remember this, glory always comes before the instruction. Otherwise, we would become boring. You see the Pharisees, they're just like, instructions, 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 no glory. They begin to what? Question everything that the disciples were experiencing, the people that were walking with Jesus experiencing. And people will argue with you because they have not experienced what you have experienced. And that's why we believe in this house that we want to create a place so that everyone can what? Experience God. This is the motto. And simple example here. Do you know what's inside of this thing? Water. I promise. It's not pop. It's not anything else. It's not coffee. Water. Beautiful water. I can tell you that this water is great. Great temperature. This holds the it code for 24 hours. This is a little propaganda here. A little. But I'm the only one in this room that can tell that this water tastes good. because I have experienced it. I could share with you. I can be an instrument to let you taste of this. But because I've experienced, I'm able to tell you. So many times in our lives, we begin to question, hey, why is this pastor doing this thing? Why is this person doing that? Stop arguing and experience with God. And this is even the motto that we do church. How do we start church? With experience the glory, worship, and then you hear a message. But first, the glory. Otherwise, this, what I'm saying to you here, will have no effect. If our hearts are not open, if our hearts are not seasoned by what we just experienced throughout worship, you will fall asleep. This room is great for that. But that's why we need to experience first. Amen? Again, back to the psalm in the New King James Version says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, this I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And look, the principle here, once again, King David teaching to us. To behold the beauty of the Lord and also to inquire in his temple. Behold, gaze at the glory first, that comes first. And then inquire, meditate, stay in the temple, listen to the instructions. But behold and contemplating has to come first. So I've been thinking about that step, giving glory to God every step of the way. And I was brought to a passage in 1 John that I want to read with you guys. This is the main passage of this morning. So taking notes, write down 1 John 2. We're going to read from verses 3 to 5 and verse 6. And this we know, this is the Amplified Version, daily by experience, that we have come to know him, to understand him, and to be more deeply acquainted with him. If we habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments, whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not habitually keep focus on his precepts and obey his commandments, teachings, is a liar. And the truth of the divine word is not in him. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts and treasures his message in its maturity, in its entirety, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. It is completed and has reached maturity. By this we know for certain that we are where? In him. Now, pay attention to verse 6, and this is the main verse that we're going to dive in deep today. Whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior. Who here has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Amen. Praise Jesus. And if you have not yet, you can have an opportunity at the end of today's experience. So pay attention. This is all of us in this room. Ought as a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conduct himself. I've been thinking a lot about this word because if you gave your life to Jesus, what this is saying is the way you used to walk, the way you used to talk, the way you used to do things cannot be the same anymore. Yeah. Jesus welcomes everyone as they were. But now that you've been saved, you need a new way of walking. So what happened to that man, that shift after he had an encounter with Jesus, what? His walk was different now. He became and he started giving glory every step, giving glory to God every step of the way. And God spoke to me, watch, and it was like a very confrontational word personally into my life. He said, watch your steps. Because he wants us to walk like Jesus. And this morning, I want to go in deep with you guys and understand. And we're going to go and dive deep into the word and saying, like, how did Jesus walk? We need to walk like Jesus. Amen, Eduardo. How does that happen? What and how Jesus walked. And I want to encourage you that this place, Kingdom Culture, if you're visiting for the first time, welcome. We're super excited that you're here. But this is not a place for you to get too comfortable. God will always shake things in you. Your walk will be challenged. I've been here for 7 years. There wasn't 1 year of, you know, a little relaxed, because we're believing that God is always in the move. He's always creating. He's always doing something in us. And we are in a place of growth. And growth, you need to be stretched. Amen? So we want to walk like Jesus. And if you want to walk like Jesus, I want to give you today 3 keys on how you can walk like Jesus did. The first one is that Jesus walked in the Spirit. Everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus has done on earth, he did by Holy Spirit. He healed by Holy Spirit. He cast out demons by the authority of Holy Spirit. And he kept coming back to the presence of the Father after every miracle. And he has done everything according to what he saw God do. Watch this verse. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And we need to understand who shows up when Jesus went to be baptized. Holy Spirit. Who guided Jesus to the desert? Holy Spirit. He said, but the Spirit led him to moments of desert. And God began to challenge me and say, are you walking by the Spirit? And again, this is going to be something, a daily check. Yeah. It's going to happen every day. I messed up this week. That where we leave the walk of the Spirit and we start walking flesh and fleshly desires. And a good, where is the guide for that in the Bible? And it's in Galatians 5:16. We're going to go into deep some passages here. So Galatians 5 says in verse 16, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." Okay, so we all need to be guided by Holy Spirit. "Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So it's good to give him the authority to guide our lives. "The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants." So if you're trying to do, you can say, oh, is this evil? Is this good? You can mention. "And the Spirit gives us the desire that are opposite to what sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other." So it happens when? Constantly. Every single time. "So you are not free to carry out good intentions, but when you are directed by His Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses." So jumping to verse 19, "When you follow the desire of the sinful nature, the results are very clear." So here, very important verses. You probably heard this before, especially if you grew up in church, Sunday school. "Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living those sort of life will not what inherits the kingdom of God." So there needs to be a change in our walk once we come to Jesus. But pay attention, the good news comes. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Verse 24, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep what? In step with the Spirit." So it's very important. You probably heard, I don't know if you heard this statement before, Holy Spirit shows up many times like a dove. And imagine you had a dove on your shoulder. Are you going to walk like crazy running? No, the dove will fly away. So you got to be very cautious with your steps. Be aware. What's that saying is just have awareness in your walk with God. Have awareness every step that you take. God, what are you doing? God wants to create that opportunity in the place. The place that you're working there today is a place where God put you. And he wants you to have the awareness, God, what are you doing here today? Give me some hearts of the people to minister. What are you speaking to lives of these people? I know that I talked with our fellow member here, Andrea. He said that every morning he prays before going to grocery stores and different places. God, give me an encouragement to someone this day. And I love that. This is how we're supposed to live our Christian life, you know. Just bring their awareness in their walk with God. And know that what step are you taking. Why am I saying all this? Because Jesus was concerned about two things about this generation and about the end of times. There are two verses that mention two concerns of Jesus, the Son of Man. And I want to share those with you. Jesus said two things concerning our days. Matthew 24:12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will what? Grow cold. And in Luke 18:8 says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So at the end, and in our days, what's happening? Love is growing cold. And where is faith? Faith is being challenged. So these are two areas that in our walk with the Spirit, we can constantly present ourselves before God and say, how is my faith in this season? How is my faith doing this season? Am I excelling? And I think this is the best place. You put yourself before the presence of Holy Spirit and let Him minister to you. Let Him speak to you. I think this is so powerful for these days because God really wants us. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our job, more than packing this church, is to keep our love and our faith always on fire. No matter the circumstances, no matter the place that we're in. This is what living in the Spirit looks like. Amen? Now, point number two. Are we all good here?
Yeah.
Awesome. This is a very important one. And the one that I've been testing every single day of my life. When you have kids, they're growing, they're almost five, you challenge this point. Jesus walked in obedience. Being obedience, the value of being obedience. John 5:19 says, Jesus gave this answer, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And the way that Jesus modeled things is that He said, 2 weeks ago I spoke about paying attention to this, really focusing on some things. He paid attention to what God was saying constantly. And He was what? Obeying what He was saying. And that is what really brought fruits to His ministry on earth. It was really by obedience. And I'm going to give this word, which I'm going to build from. And this is like probably my favorite verse out of this passage is verse 8, Hebrews 5:7-9. While Jesus was here on earth, He offered prayers and pleading. So this is talking about the life of Jesus. With a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue Him from death. And God heard His prayers because of His deep reverence for God. Verse 8, even though Jesus was God's Son, He learned obedience from the things He suffered. In this way, God qualified Him as a perfect high priest. And He became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey Him. Two things that this stands out to me before we dive in deep where we're going to focus this part of this point is verse 8. We were talking this week in our Connect group about the Ten Commandments. And we were focusing on this part that verse 7 really says here. He offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue Him. And God answers His prayer because of what? His deep reverence from God. We cannot lose our reverence for God. When I think about our generation, I think that one area that has been robbed is this area of honor, of reverence, like we even see here in Cineplex when we are tearing down, like we can see people that leave, you know, it's as simple as leaving a coffee cup here before taking your trash off, you know? I was chatting with the group is back in the day when I used to come to visit North America from Brazil, one thing that I loved about it was how clean the streets were, the parks were. This, we were recording a video announcements in the park, and I saw like there was so much trash around. And people lost that, like a simple thing, but it goes to show more like a heart thing of reverence, of something that is very small, but you just cultivate, that is very deep. A reverence, an honor to the place. You come to a place you want to honor, you want to teach the value. Even in the Bible, you go to some churches, they had such a reference, and I don't like when it's done out of religiosity, but people would just stand to the reading of God's word. Because there's such an awe in their hearts, such a reverence, such a cry. And God began to speak to me, when was the last time, you know, that we were crying before the presence, crying for the things of the heart of God, crying for what his heart cries out. And the model that just lives here for us, he offered prayers and pleadings with what? Loud cries and tears. And then we come into verse 8. This is the value of obedience. It says, even though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience from what? The things he suffered. The best school for you to learn obedience in this season, it is your sufferings. I know many of you don't appreciate what I just said, but it's true. It's if you want to learn to be obedience is going to come in those moments, in those seasons. The valleys of suffering in your life are the valleys that are going to bring obedience to your life. And I know that nobody enjoys, Harley was sharing from stage, like the season where they were singing that song and just crying from the presence of God. You know, like manifest, God, we need to see your goodness in this season. You are good all the time. But it's those moments. And I think that how do we exercise obedience? And I think gospel is very simple. It's as similar as exercising yourselves. This week, this year with a group of men, we have been dedicating some times, and we have an accountability group just to make sure that we are working out, and the expectation is minimal of 3 workouts throughout the week. And I jumped back. We bought a Peloton throughout the COVID. I just finished paying. Thank you, God. glad that that's over. But the Peloton's still there. And I've been back to the Peloton this year. And let me tell you, the first day that I went back to the Peloton, it was tough. Yeah. The things that I like about it is because you see your previous performances. And it was, man, such a shame to see what I was able to do coming back this year versus 2 years before or since I had it. But what really happened is I was there, but after a few minutes, after 10 minutes of workouts, I began to feel something different. And I got excited. I said, I can do this. I can like follow the same rhythm as before. And I started to pump, 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 going faster and faster and faster. But I forgot about the next day. And when you stop for a long time, you realize, man, I'm old. My back is not as it used to be. It began to hurt. And I had one question then. Should I even go back to that thing? Or should I just keep it in the basement? Just paying the monthly fee? And that pain was meant to stop me. But if you go the next day, you're going to still feel pain. Then you go the next day. You're still going to feel pain, but you're going to go the next day, and the next day, and again, and again, and again, and that's going to begin to produce something in you. That suffering that once was painful is creating change in your body. It's bringing you health. It's bringing you fresh life. It's giving you more endurance. It's giving you more energy throughout your day. It's giving you new strength. But it all began in one suffering. And we're going to begin and be tempted to stop at the first time after feeling that first pain. And that's why most people, like, they say, I want to serve at church. Awesome. They show up the first day. Wow, super excited to be here, part of the setup team. Oh, you got to bring those heavy lights up to the top. And then next day, you're going to feel the pains. Oh, maybe I was committed to show up once every month. Maybe I'll do once every 6 weeks. And then 6 weeks come by, oh, maybe I should do once every 2 months. Maybe I should do once a semester. But I want to encourage you to don't run away the first time you experience pain. Yeah. Don't want to run away the first time you experience a suffering in your life. That's the first temptation in any hard season you're going to go through, is to isolate and not experience the suffering and the benefits that he has in your life. Pressure will cause something in you. I'm not a huge fan of olives, but I love olive oil. And they only come when you crush the olives. Grapes only give good wine if they are stepped on, crushed. I want to encourage you to don't run away. If this season in your life feels like it's painful, I want to give you a word today. God is inviting you to come closer. God is inviting you to open more your hearts. Whatever your natural body is trying to tell you the opposite, just run towards God. It's every step. And again, it's a day at a time. Watch every step. If you messed up once, it's okay. Go back. Go back to the heart of the Father and do it again and again and again. Look at what David said here, and I love this verse. I never read it this way. And I love Psalms 119. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep and honor your word with loving obedience. So with no affliction, he was far. No affliction led him far from his destiny in life. Affliction came, best school of my life. I want that. Because of it, I keep and honor your word with loving obedience. Harley said this last week, obstacles are not to delay you, discourage you, or stop you, but to bring you higher. I love that. Again, sufferings are not to delay you, are not to cause pain you. They can be painful. They will be painful. Yes. Remember, we are led by the Spirit. Where did the Spirit lead Jesus? Wilderness, to the desert. It's not about what's around you. Adam fell in paradise. Jesus won in the desert. So it's about the hearts that is in you. I'm going to obey. Is this the place where God is leading me in the season? That's why it's so important. Every time God speaks, he's creating something. That goes back into the beginning of this man. It's in Genesis, God creates. So anytime he speaks with you, he's going to give a key. He's creating something new. Now it's for you to experience and grab those instructions and walk into the next season. Obey. No matter the challenge, no matter how hard it is, he's going to be there for you. Amen? Third point, Jesus walked in compassion. Love this. Look at this. Matthew 9, 35 and 37. Best water. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, what happens? He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to Jesus, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. they were just after, imagine like the craziest conference, ministry time. They were praying for days for healings and everybody. And then after all that, when they were ready to go home, Jesus said, like, man, let's take the boat. Let's go home. It's time. Like, Jesus acknowledged that they needed rest. He looked at the crowd and what? He was moved by compassion. He had compassion on them because they were confused. Another passage that shows Jesus has compassion and walks in compassion says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. So, see, again, they were doing a lot of ministry times, but the crowds heard where he was headed and followed him on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boats, and he had compassion on them, and what? Healed the sick. Compassion made Jesus stop. Compassion made Jesus change his agenda. He says, God, your agenda is more important than my agenda. Some days we're going to feel tired. It's that different kind of pain. But he remembered his calling. It was, I have a calling to experience. I have something in my heart that moved when he saw the crowd. Such a love would come to Jesus. And I love this. We need to really be and pray. I think it's not spoken a lot in this to talk about compassion. And I know something that compassion in Jesus is that I know that Jesus, he had compassion, absolutely, and we love that, and this is where we're focusing, but he always led with wisdom. Yeah. He didn't let compassion be over his wisdom. He always had wisdom with leading the people, but he always walked in compassion. Always, always, he would stop for anybody that he knew. Man, you know what? In this season, the love of many will grow cold. I see somebody here that is disconnected. I see somebody here that comes every Sunday. They're the last one to show up and the first to be out of this door. Hey, I'm going to go out and reach out to them. I'm going to love on them. You're always going to have opportunities. And what I love about these two passages here, the second one, I believe, is the multiplication of the bread and fish. The crowds were coming, and the disciples said, Jesus, this is not in our budgets. We can't feed them. This wasn't planned. And Jesus said, I don't care about the budgets. I care about the people. And he was moved by the people. He was moved to the hearts of the people. And I think that many times I want to encourage you, don't make decisions based on financial stuff in your life. Make decisions based on compassion, on love. On love for God, on love for the people. You're always going to have a temptation. We have a big, you all heard about a big holiday in Brazil called Carnival. It's a great time. My parents used to have a place by the beach. Amazing time to, you know, get out of the city, relax. It's about 5 days that we get. So many times some workplaces give a full week. So it feels like a spring break week where we get to rest more often. And I remember one year that I had an opportunity to just go one of these places, but our church said, man, we want to go and do some mission trips throughout Carnaval. Would you come? Would you lead one of those trips? And they said, yeah, 100%. And let me tell you, this was probably one of the best holidays of Carnaval I had in my life. So much better when, you know, like you put his agenda before your agenda. And sometimes you're saying like, man, I'm tired. I needed some rest. But when you begin giving of yourself, you're going to find out. And I bet anybody here that has been on a missions trip, I know that we all would agree on something. You will always receive more on that trip than you will go and you give. That always happens. I love how God always outgives us. God always outloves us when we propose in our hearts to go and serve and love his people. We always receive more. And I want to encourage us in this season to move out of compassion. And there are some keys here because I think that really men that walk with compassion, I wrote a few things that I felt Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Men that walk with compassion will experience miracles of provision. The power of compassion, the power of the compassion of Jesus brought the resurrection. The power of compassion to Jesus into the multiplication of bread and fish brought provision. The power of compassion always brought miracles Jesus' way. And compassion, just like obedience, it's something you need to exercise. And some of the recent sayings and studies said it's not only good to do cardio, but it's actually better to lift up what? Weights. But I believe with my message here, you got to learn the obedience here in the hearts. You got to work in the hearts like in the Peloton. You're going to work on your cardio. But you got to lift up the weights. And what are the weights of compassion? Let me tell you, it's not a what, it's a who. It's maybe that person that you come and you see in church that you wish they were leaving the church. That person that really gets in your nerves. That person that, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that we feel this way. But we all have that person in our lives or maybe in your family that everybody rejects, don't want to go and talk to that person. Open even a window of conversation because you might not even get out of any conversation hours later. It's those are the people that may feel like weights that will create compassion in your hearts. That will begin to bear this fruit in our hearts. This is the compassion that God is looking for his church. And he's saying, invest again and again and again. It's going to be hard and awkward maybe to have that first conversation with somebody that you come and see every Sunday, but you don't talk to. But you should go. And I know that God will do incredible things. One thing that I've been thinking about this a lot about, we need to invest in love and in our faiths. Love is not a person, is not a feeling, it's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. God doesn't have love, he is love. And you and I, we have love. But we have an opportunity to let that increase, let the power of Jesus increase. When we are filled with Spirit, Spirit is just one with God. He is filled of love. He is love himself. So God is inviting us to really fill that area in our lives. So it's impossible that God doesn't love. It's also impossible that his love for you grows higher. There's nothing you can do that he will love you more because he's already love. He loves you. But that same way that it's impossible for you to do anything that his love will grow for you, it's impossible for you to do anything that his love will go down or will decrease for you. He loves you just the same way. And I don't know where you're at. I want to read this verse again. The worship team can come back up. 1 John 2:6, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought as a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself, just as he walked and conduct himself. This morning, I don't know where you need the most. What out of these three things that we talked about, Jesus' walk, he walked in the Spirit, he walked in obedience, and he walked in compassion. Maybe you spot a specific area in your hearts where you feel like, you know what, Jesus, I need this area to get moving. I believe in moments like this, in Sundays like this, when we come and we pray, and I'm going to invite soon our ministry team to also come up here as we go back into worship. I want to invite you to take a step this morning towards down here. That step is going to be a faith step for you. You're recognizing, hey, maybe there's an area I've been hiding in this season. Maybe there's an area that maybe even I don't have been walking with Jesus, and I want to go back to that place of walking with Jesus. I want to encourage you to come down here at the front and ask for prayer. Maybe it's an area where, you know, you need compassion. You find that you're angry many times. You're not ready to love another's. I don't know where you're at, but you, better than myself, you're able to tell how your heart is this morning. And he is inviting you to walk with him. Amen.